Rob Has a Podcast is sponsored in part by our patrons who allow me to make podcasting about Big Brother my full-time job. Because of them, I would be able to play for the veto every week and not have to take somebody else's $5,000 like Caleb. Find out more about the benefits of becoming a patron of Rob Has a Podcast at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the only guy who moves less than Derek, Christine, Nicole, and Caleb. Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. I am Rob Cesternino, here to recap eviction number 4. Guess what? It was another landslide. Brittany is out, and she is reunited with her kids. And is going to have a happily ever after this. And so she is the latest casualty from the Big Brother house. We have new H's OH for Ian Terry. And so we are going to break down everything that happened on the episode and what is to come next week. Of course, we are going to speak with Brittany on Friday morning here on Rob Has a Podcast. So make sure you don't miss that on robhasawebsite.com on Friday. Let's introduce you to the guys here with me tonight. First off, here he is. He is a man who also loves God and America. Here is Brian Lynch. Brian, how are you?
I'm great, Rob. God bless America.
Yes, thank you, Brian. Oh, you're like America's player. And so here with us also is another man who knows a thing or two about the Big Brother house. He's the winner of Big Brother 14. Please welcome in Ian Terry.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for having me here today. Really excited.
Ian, is it true that you are a member of Team Coconuts?
Yeah, I'm still a member of Team Coconuts.
Okay, still loves Team Coconuts. All right, we'll talk about everything tonight from that segment as well, all of the romance and everything from the battle between Donnie and Brittany, which wasn't much of a battle, and then all the way through Brittany's eviction and the new HSOH. I've got a really great show coming up on Sunday night here on Rob Has a Podcast. Of course, we'll be live finding out about who the nominees are on Sunday night, and I'll be joined by the great Big Brother winner and Survivor star. We will welcome in Hayden Moss back to RHAP. How about that?
Pretty impressive.
Yeah. Who has a TV on at their house? Is it Ian Terry? Yeah. All right. These amateurs, Brian.
Yeah, it wouldn't be me. I'm on double secret probation right now.
Yeah, I know. That Ian is so excited from watching Frankie and Zach win HOH that he can't remember to turn his TV off.
I have a lot of, I have to throw away the cans on the table. You know, I have to, use the restroom, get a beverage before the show starts. I have a lot to do from 8:59 to 9:07 there, Rob.
Yeah, okay. So no worries. All right. And so, of course, we are live here on Thursday night. We've got the chat room going here on robhasawebsite.com. And then, of course, Scott St. Pierre is monitoring Twitter. You can use the hashtag RHAP plus as well on our YouTube channel at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. Send us your comments and we'll take them all later on in the show tonight. One note about the Big Brother live feeds. Tomorrow morning is the final day that you can buy a season pass, and then they're turning it into just monthly. So if you still want to get in on the Big Brother live feeds for the season pass, you can only do so through Friday morning. You can go to robhasawebsite.com/live feeds if you're so inclined to support RHAP with your live feed purchase. Okay, let's just start off with the eviction was kind of boring. We'll talk through some of the highlights, but let's start off with Zach and Frankie. Zanky winning the HOH. Ian, do you think this will make for a interesting week?
I mean, Zach's always interesting, right? I'm a huge Zach fan, so we'll see what he does with it. I think it has potential.
Brian, what's your take on this? You've been following this very closely all week long.
I feel like Zach is really down to get Caleb out this week via backdoor. Frankie has said that he would go along with that in the past. However, he has worked against that at times when he has said that he was down with it. So I'm not sure if Frankie will try to get him to not do that or just allow it to happen. It may end up coming down to who's original nominees win the Battle of the Block.
See, I think it's going to be fun to have Zach be the HOH because I feel like Zach might do something unexpected and might do something impulsive that could really shake up the snow globe a little bit. But I feel like Frankie is going to talk him out of anything rash that he might want to try to do. What do you think, Ian?
Well, that's the thing is Zach is a pretty loose cannon, right? I mean, he always is going off on one of these crazy tangents. We saw it on, I believe it was Sunday night, where he made a hard push for Caleb to go up on the block, up in the HOH room. He was very impassioned. And, Frankie and Derek were pretty much left to defuse that whole situation right then and there.
Yeah. We certainly will expect another week where it's going to be really Derek and Frankie calling the shots, right, Brian?
Oh, yes. Derek especially is going to try to get in there and shape whatever anyone tries to do with their HOH.
Yeah. So while it's exciting to see Zach in power here, I feel like we're going to see another week with the predictable nominees. Give us the Battle of the Block rundown, Ian.
Well, let's see here. Jocasta, Donnie.
Well, Brittany's not in the mix anymore. So now is it Amber again?
That's definitely a possibility. Victoria.
Yeah, Jocasta, Victoria, Donnie are in the mix.
No doubt in the mix. So there you go. That's what you're pretty much looking at. Not so sure who else might be in that select grouping. Running out of floaters to put up.
Yeah.
Floaters to put up.
So, Brian, based on what we know right now, who is Frankie's target?
Well, I would just suggest that Frankie's probably not going to end up being HOH. He would want to just get out just whoever's not in his alliance, the floaters, like the Jocastas, the maybe Victorias. I'm not sure, really.
Ian, do you have a sense of who Zach is gunning for?
He wants to make a big move. He really wants to make a big move. And, you know, like I said, he gave that very impassioned speech on Sunday night to try and get Caleb backdoored. So I wouldn't doubt it if that's in some sort of long-term plan of his. Do I think Caleb will get nominated tomorrow? Absolutely not. I think that would be very risky and impulsive to give him two chances to get himself off the block.
What was your take on the Cody situation? We talked about it a lot last night with Andy. Did you feel like Cody made the right call with his veto?
Whenever Zach gave the speech on Sunday night to those in the HOH room, I think that putting Caleb up wouldn't have been the end of the world for anyone in that room except for Nicole, definitely, because Brittany was... her number one target was Nicole, and probably Christine, who would go on the block with Nicole. So I feel like Cody had room to play. I mean, the next morning, him telling Donnie that he was safe, and then it's kind of like one of those things, right? Whenever you imagine it like this, you're considering backdooring someone. You have a gun in your hand, and it has one bullet, and you say, I'm definitely thinking about shooting that person right now. Well, the second that you say that, you have to pull the trigger, right? Because same thing with Frank in Big Brother 14. Oh, I'm really fixing to put Dan up on the back door, tells a couple people, spreads out to the whole house. At that point, you have to put it up, because saying that you're really, really considering it is just as bad as is often viewed as just as bad as actually doing it.
That's a good point. But did Caleb find out about that through the grapevine?
I'm not sure, but I wouldn't doubt it if he does at some point. I mean, it's sure to come back.
I mean,
no,
he doesn't know.
He doesn't know. he's ostracized. This whole notion that Brittany is saying that Caleb is in control in the house is just farcical, in my opinion.
Of course it is. He has really no, what's the word?
Situational awareness.
Right. None of that. He has no sort of control, like, at all. I don't think that he has any control. I think he thinks he has control, but he really doesn't. He has no, I guess you could say social currency would be the word. He has no social currency in the house.
So other than the infatuation with Amber, Caleb seems somewhat harmless, at least from a strategic point of view. Should he be what the detonators are focused on, Ian?
I mean, the guy is just, that's the thing is, yeah, he's from a strategic point of view, pretty harmless. At the same time, you never really want someone like that getting to a point where they can just string off a bunch of Conklins when you want them out of there. And I think he's someone that's perfectly capable of doing that. We saw him win that one on last night, but it was largely luck. I mean, that required no skill whatsoever to win. But you don't want someone like that around for a comp streak. And the other thing is, he's just a loose cannon.
Now, while he is a loose cannon, though, I have to say that I did agree with Caleb earlier tonight. And I have to say, I do not agree with Caleb often. I feel like often him and I are on opposite sides of most debates. But there was this one time where we were on the same page where he was talking about, hey, we need to get rid of Donnie. Donnie is the threat. Donnie's going to put us up on the block. Not Brittany. Brittany's not coming after us. And I have to say, I think I agree with this. I think that Donnie and Hayden are the bigger threats that these guys should be worried about and not trying to spend all week getting Brittany out of the house. Ian, do you think, is that where they should be focused?
Yeah, I mean, I think Donnie or Hayden would be a great boot for that side of the house. Absolutely. But I mean, those names just weren't coming up. Well, Donnie obviously did go up on the block, but at the same time, I mean, I don't know what Brittany did. I guess that she just was off-putting to people, but they really wanted her gone. And, but I think Hayden would have been a fine target for the group this week.
Brian, how come nobody is considering getting Donnie out? He seems to me like the one guy who could pick up all of these stragglers around the house and mount some sort of resistance against the detonators.
I feel like he's capitalized the most out of being a sympathetic figure in the house. He's, you know, been attacked directly by people that he considered like his close allies in the house. There were house meetings called, to expose things that were done mean to him or whatever. And there's just a sense that it would be wrong to target him in a way. Mm-hmm. Even when they do put him on the block, they go out of their way to make sure everybody knows that he is not allowed to be touched. He's really getting a really special treatment here from the house when he is a huge danger to win the game.
Well, and the other thing is, though, it's very odd because we see him in danger quite a lot. And we see his name come up in discussion where they say, oh, next week, Donnie. But then next week comes and here we are and it's not been Donnie yet. And it's always next week, Donnie. But we don't ever see Donnie go. So I think that's the interesting thing. It just seems like they want to get him out, but they just keep pushing him off until other targets emerge.
Yeah, if I was in the house, the Donnie thing would petrify me right now, because the longer you keep him around, the larger this legend of Donnie is growing. And especially tonight, he got up there on the block. And I mean, have you ever seen anybody? First, he thanked God. He talked about how he loves his family. He ended his veto or his nomination speech with, and God bless America. Who does that? I mean, this guy has America eating out of the palm of his hand, and I wouldn't be surprised if Donnie was going home if you see a coup de Donnie at some point now. Gotta get this guy out of there.
I feel like Dale kind of did the same thing in Big Brother Canada with Wake Up Canada. Just soaking in all of the public sympathy and And yeah, he has been the most popular house guest for weeks.
Yeah, the show has gone completely towards, you know, marketing. You know, I guess there's still the Frankie angle, but I watched a commercial for tonight's episode, and it was the commercial was like, he's America's favorite player. He's the guy with the beard, and he's on the block this week. Is Donnie going to be safe, America? Find out on Big Brother. And they didn't. They showed Brittany in a two shot with her with Donnie. They didn't even mention anything about her on the block. It's just the entire marketing for tonight's episode was like, uh-oh, Donnie's in trouble. So they're really, you know, production loves Donnie at this point. And that would scare me.
No doubt about it. I mean, Donnie is like their flagship character from this season, if he lasts, you know, even a reasonably long time, which he's quite close to doing.
So when push comes to shove for Derek and Frankie, are they going to go with Donnie, or are they going to keep their loyalty to Cody and Zach? What do you think, Ian?
Donnie, Cody, and Zach.
Will Team America or the Detonators be the real alliance that Derek and Frank?
The Detonators. I mean, I think Team America is a just sort of an alliance of convenience, right? I feel like they'll just use it for as long as they can, and then kind of just stop caring at a certain point. I mean, they're getting great money out of this, huh? I mean,
huge.
I mean, $10,000 already. That's a great chunk of change in Big Brother. That's really awesome. And it wasn't very difficult either. So, I think that the Detonators is where they're going to have their real allegiance, though, in the game. I think Team America is just sort of their outlet for silly tasks for cash.
Silly tasks for cash. That should be the hashtag. So tonight's challenge, Ian, is a Big Brother staple. Of course, this is a knockout challenge where you pick two people to go up. Do you think, was this a bad challenge for Big Brother to go to at a time in the game when things are very static, where the majority alliance can sort of pick and choose who gets knocked out by keep sending people into the competition?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was kind of a boring time to have this one. I don't think it really exposed much of any, you know, sort of alliances that were out there, which is really what the purpose of that game is, shows who's gunning for who. The thing that was interesting to me was Christine, like, being very, very obvious about who she was telling, who was it that picked who would play in the next round. And she's sitting on the bench and everybody noticed that she's like, pick, you know, Nicole. And I can't remember here the other name she said. So she was getting blood on her hands without actually getting a question correct. So, you know, that's not a good thing to do in that game.
Yeah, let's just talk through it real quick to see if anything interesting came up. So the first round was Hayden and Christine. Christine wins. She goes with Donnie and Jocasta. Okay, that's obvious. That's very on the nose. She doesn't like Donnie. Jocasta is not in the Detonator, so she's pretty much showing her cards there. It's Donnie versus...
Pretty obvious, though. I feel like that's the vast majority of the house make that same move.
So Donnie and Jocasta play. Donnie wins. Donnie, interestingly, picks Caleb and Frankie. Now, is this a sign that Donnie may not be in love with Frankie?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's definitely a sign. I mean, he's got this sense that the big alliance that he was told about, the bomb squad, is still together. So that's where he's going with that.
Okay. Frankie wins. He picks Amber and Victoria. And again, this is Victoria, no surprise. A little bit interesting to pick Amber, but I guess she's the remaining person who's left from the overall bomb squad that's not Caleb. So Amber versus Victoria. Amber wins. She picks Donnie and Derek. Was that a bad move for Amber to put Derek into the gauntlet?
I think there has been pretty obvious that there's no love lost between those two. So, I mean, I feel like this doesn't really expose any sort of new information.
Okay. Derek, he beats Donnie. He puts up Zach and Nicole. And I guess a little interesting that he picks Zach and all those people. But, you know, we're starting to run out of people at this point.
He explained it as because they hadn't been chosen yet.
Okay. So then Zach plays Nicole. Zach wins. He picks Amber and Christine. And then Christine and Amber, they play. Christine picks Frankie and Derek, but says, "I love you guys." And then Derek and Frankie play. And Derek, obviously, shades of Alec in Big Brother Canada, throws the final part of the HOH to Frankie. Now, we had the big package that we saw during the show tonight of Frankie receiving the letter from his family that his grandfather passed away. A lot of talk on that on the live feeds in the last 24 hours. Ian, did you have any thoughts on how Big Brother handled all that?
That's how it should be handled. I just thought of something else about an analogy earlier that I made that I think I got it confused with the analogy for having a hidden immunity idol on Survivor that everybody knows about. But so just to clarify that, but now the Frankie situation that's what had to be done. They had to tell him. I feel like they were under they had an obligation to notify him of this news, right? Now, I don't know if I like this giving him a letter thing. I mean, I don't know how I feel about that. I wasn't too big on that one part, but I feel like it was handled pretty much correctly as far as letting him know what was going on the outside.
Yeah, Brian, I know that you were very moved by everything that you witnessed in the last 24 hours or so.
Yes, I don't know. It just struck this episode was something like different and special in a way. I believe it definitely wasn't intentional. They couldn't have foreseen Brittany being evicted, but this juxtaposition of life and death with children playing such a prominent role in the episode, I just thought it was kind of beautiful in a way, but yeah. Very hard to watch.
Yeah, it was, you know, your heart goes out for Frankie. I really feel like the hardest part, it's one thing, you know, to lose a grandparent, you know, as you become an adult, that's something that does happen. And it's unfortunate, but to not be able to go to the funeral, I feel like is really the worst part, and not really be able to say your sort of last respects. He was 90 years old and he was sick. And you know, I don't think this was unexpected, but I think it's just really hard for somebody to say, you know, that it just happened to happen when you're locked in a house and you can't go to the, you know, funeral of a loved one. I feel like that's a hard pill to swallow.
I feel like his family did the right thing by telling him to stay, though.
Yeah, no, I don't think you should. I don't think you should. He should leave. I just think it sucks that for him that it had to be, you know, in this 3-month window while he's playing this game. It's just, you know, there's not, you know, most people, you know, there's not a lot of situations where they would miss an event like that. And it just kind of stinks for him that he has to go through this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Really unfortunate.
Yeah. But here's what I don't like about the Battle of the Block. And I'm really turning on the Battle of the Block because, one, we have the same people playing every week. But two, that now it's so easy to get a letter from home. You're one of the two Battle of the Block people. So Derek can just say, "Oh, I'm just going to throw it to Frankie because, you know, I already got a letter. I'll get another one next week when I'm one of the two HOHs." So I feel like it really is watering down being the HOH. That people are throwing it to other people. What do you think, Ian?
I don't understand what... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ian.
I actually was hoping that the Battle of the Block and Double HOH twist was ending tonight. I feel like at this point it's starting to just not mathematically make so much sense, right? It seems like they're just like running out of people to nominate.
Yeah, I agree with that. Brian, what were you going to say?
I was just I'm just a bit confused why people, heads of household aren't nominating strong players and offering it to them as like, well, I'm going to put you on the block because I want you to have immunity for this week and not have to worry.
Well, what
like
are
they did with Peyton and Nicole at one time?
Why are the people that are playing in the Battle of the Block each week fighting with each other and not saying, hey, you know what? That we go up in the Battle of the Block every single week. Why don't we make an alliance of all the people that have to play in the Battle of the Block every week? I mean, you saw Victoria tonight. She voted for, what did she call Brittany? She called her the conniving Brittany. What did she call her, Brian?
I did write it down. I'm happily a vote to evict the conniving Brittany.
The conniving Brittany.
This is Derek's influence. He's been teaching her how to give mean goodbye messages and stuff.
Ian, why don't all the people that are at the bottom of the pecking order in the house, why don't they band together and try to go after the people that are obviously in power?
Well, if they band together, Rob, great. Okay. So, when Jocasta and Donnie win HOH, they can do something about it. But, that's just not happening. So, I mean, yeah, okay, yeah, you can band together. Great, you're an alliance with no power, which is just a target.
Yeah, I guess that kind of is a bad idea for an alliance of people who never win competitions. But Donnie's been good in the veto, so I don't know what his problem has been in the HOHs. He's got to pull one out.
Well, you have to answer like 5 or 6 questions right in this one before someone else, because they're all targeting him.
Yeah.
Know?
I don't know. I think we might need to bring back the MVP twist here to help Donnie out. let him pick a nominee for a week. I wouldn't be surprised. So let's talk through some of the other things from the episode. Okay, we touched on the stuff with Frankie. Let's talk about the Donnie's reception to Donnie being the new kid on the block. Okay, so Donnie ends up finding out at the end of the last episode that he is going to be nominated this week, and Cody is like flipping out and crying. Is this good gameplay on Cody's part to show everybody how upset he is with the nomination he just made? Isn't it sort of like the ultimate like not getting blood on your hands move to show to everybody like I didn't want to make this decision and other people made me do what I just did, Ian?
Yeah, I mean, the idea in the game, right, is to, this is so weird, such a weird thing to say, but you need to have accountability, but also deniability, right? So you at the end of the game, you want to be able to say, well, I did this, and I did this, and I did this, so that's why I deserve $500,000, and I'm not a floater. But at the same time, whenever the stuff hits the fan, you want to be able to just deny that you had any doing in it. So, I mean, it's a decent move because he can say that, oh, he had to make the tough decision. But he can also say, well, that decision was kind of forced upon me. So, yeah, I think it's a good move.
Yeah. And so it was very funny, I felt like, with Cody and Donnie, where Donnie was trying to fish for information about what was going on, and he was saying to Cody, like, I thought that maybe there was other people that made you want to do this to me. And Cody denied it, but, you know, Donnie's still under the belief that, you know, there is still an alliance working against him. And he's not incorrect.
And he mentions the name.
Yes. Oh, and he was
Derek.
Yes. What, he mentions Bomb Squad to Derek?
No, he mentioned in the diary room that Derek might be the one, the kingpin.
Oh, the kingpin, yes.
Possible kingpin.
Yes, he said that, I have suspicions of Derek being the kingpin. And he's right about that. That's why
exactly right.
Brittany is worried about, you know, people like Victoria staying in the house. Donnie is at least keen to what's going on.
Oh, Donnie actually, it's actually amazing how good his deductive reasoning skills are. Like, I'm very legitimately impressed that he just gets the information that he has, and he can really just sort it out extremely well to figure out what's going on in the house. It's unreal, actually.
Yeah. Donnie is not a half bad player. I don't want to say he is. He's not the, you know, Duck Dynasty version of Dr. Will, but he is. He's not bad, especially.
Oh, he's certainly not bad. I think he's definitely decent. Yeah. For sure. He's one of the better players in there, I think.
Above replacement level, Ian?
Yeah, I would say so. I think I would take him in the game for my life over at least 50% of Big Brother players.
Who is the ultimate replacement level contestant this season?
The most average contestant this season is probably like Amber.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, there you go. That's just like default Big Brother contestant baseline Amber. You could get better, you could get worse. Okay, so I don't understand what Brittany's issue was with Zach. She was talking with Caleb, and she says she needs to talk to Caleb because he's a guy who has a lot of influence in the house. And I don't think there was ever a more line to illustrate how clueless Brittany was about the game to say that Caleb's a guy who has a lot of influence around here. And so she said that she doesn't want to go home before people like Victoria and Zach. Brian, why Zach? Why does she say that Zach like he's somebody who's not playing hard?
Well, as we all know, Zach has implemented a sleep strategy from day one. He sleeps like most of the day and then he gets up. But as we've seen with this activity tracker, when he's up, he is on the move 24/7 playing the game just about as hard, if not harder than anyone, which can be bad. But to say that he's lazy and he don't deserve to be there is kind of disrespectful.
Yeah. Way. And also Brittany, I feel like she's also very confused that, you know, and she's gotten Caleb on board with this, which is probably, you know, he's already a confused guy, but I feel like her thesis was like, hey, like I proved when I kick 2,400 goals that I play this game hard and I want to be here and I'm good at competitions. And so I deserve to be here more than other people. And it's almost the exact opposite she should be doing. I would want to vote somebody out who is proving that they were good at winning competitions if they weren't in my alliance. Is that fair, Ian?
Yeah, I feel like this week it's the exact opposite of last week. With Devin saying, yeah, I can win competitions and don't you want me, you know, here and on your side so that I can take you to the end. Well, Devin can't hide the fact that he's going to be good at competitions. Brittany, on the other hand, it's not immediately obvious. So she should continue to try to hide the fact that she's capable in such types of games. So, yeah, she should try to hide it. Definitely wasn't a good thing to mention that for her.
Okay, so when Julie checked in with the house guests this week, first off, you know, she gave Frankie condolences, which was very nice. But I felt like Julie was really working hard to stir the pot. And this is for Paul Borges in the chat room. Do you think, was Julie over the line tonight with some of her questions, Ian? She started off with Caleb and asked him, so Caleb, like, what was going through your mind when you took the money and didn't take the veto? And then she's asking, and then she goes to Zach, and it's like, then she wants Zach to really zing Caleb here. And she asks him, so what was going through your mind when Caleb took all that cash?
He was like, I'm glad he didn't take my trip.
Yeah. Well, he handled it politically, but Ian, did you think Julie was over the line?
No, because to be honest, I think the expected answer with that question is, yeah, I'm glad he didn't take my trip. So I didn't feel like it was any sort of issue.
Yeah, I felt like she was trying to stir things up a little bit.
Yeah. I liked what Caleb said. He said he didn't feel like he was in danger, and that's because, I mean, I guess he was in danger a little bit, but he got through it all right.
All right. Well, Ian, let's talk about this segment tonight. Okay. Let's talk about our discussion of Hayden and Nicole. The chase is over, apparently. So
yeah, it's over.
We talked about Hayden's showmancing ways, and we got a chance to visit with Nicole's parents back in her hometown. What did you think of Jenny, Nicole's mom?
She seemed like a nice lady. I will say that I have since changed my occupation from physics teacher to farmer.
Yes, they want her to be with a farmer, not...
I put the applications in, Rob.
Yeah, I feel like you're closer to farmer than a pedicab driver is.
Yeah, I would agree, right? It's sort of, the teacher, it's just sort of like a warm and fuzzy type job, kind of like a farmer is kind of like, you know... It's the farmer, you know, it's the same idea. Pedicab driver. I mean, come on, what's that?
Now, Ian, why is Nicole's nickname Coconuts? I feel like there are many Big Brother alumni that would probably be nicknamed Coconuts before Nicole.
Is it not just coconut? Are we pluralizing it and making it like about food?
It is Coconuts. It's plural. I don't know why. I mean, maybe her personality or something is like kind of nutty compared to everyone else in the small town. I have no idea.
I feel like when we are talking about a woman and her nickname is Coconuts, I feel like this is going in a different direction.
I mean, I don't really know. I don't pay a huge amount of attention to that. I'm more focused on her personality or perhaps her eyes or something like that. So I don't really know, Rob. I haven't paid much attention.
Okay. So do you anticipate at some point, Ian, that you will be the Coconuts Bandit? like Tyson and Jervis.
Going after the coconut milk.
Wow.
I mean, I don't know, Rob. We'll just see. We'll have to see what happens. I don't know.
Now, you compared this scene on Twitter. I said, Ian, don't watch this part on Twitter. You compared this scene to they did a similar package with you and Ashley during Big Brother 14.
The packages were very similar, weren't they, Rob?
Now, I don't recall anybody saying that you and Ashley were going to make sex anytime soon.
Well,
she had that back issue.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, it's just too painful, right?
The segment was very, very similar to the... I mean, what I was saying is that they'll make these segments for pretty much anything. If it's a blip on the showman's radar, they'll make a segment about it. So I don't think that it's any sort of, you know, anything to get worked up over, Rob.
Yeah. So, well, we did actually get to see some MO time for Hayden and Nicole under the blanket, which we got to see what her family's response was to that. It was very funny, though, when they talked to her cousins who accused Hayden of always trying to make sex with Nicole. I had tweeted, did Nicole's cousins learn to speak English from Borat?
Oh, Rob. I don't know. Kids, you know, they say the darndest things, don't they? You know, they probably don't know what that even means, which is probably the funniest part about it. And, you know, I don't know. The whole thing, it was kind of odd, wasn't it?
Do you think she really doesn't know that Oregon's a state? Or who Hansel and Gretel are? I guess it's not as bad as Victoria thinking unicorns are real, though, is it?
No, I don't think that Nicole is unintelligent at all. I think she's actually fairly smart, at least from what I've gathered from watching the feeds.
Okay. All right. Well, I can sense that this is a very painful subject for you to talk about. So I will.
No, it's not. No,
I will move on.
It's not at all. I'm numb to it by now. It's happened a million times. It'll happen a million more times. It's fine.
Okay.
It's fine.
All right. It's fine. all right. Do you want to dive into taking some questions? Okay.
Sure.
All right.
That'll be great.
That'll be great. All right. So Scott St. Pierre has the questions ready to go. Of course, you can send in your questions via the chat room or the hashtag RHAP or on our YouTube channel at robhaswebsite.com/YouTube. Don't forget, we are going to have our interview with Brittany on Friday. Plus, I will then speak with our good friend of the podcast, AJ Mass, when we talk about the 12 archetypes of Big Brother now that we're down to the final 12. And AJ and I will have our fantasy draft for the regular season of Big Brother. It's going to be some fun bonus coverage of BB16. And then Sunday night, of course, we'll speak with Hayden Moss. Make sure you catch all those shows on robhaswebsite.com. All right. So let's go ahead and bring in Scott's questions. All right. So here's question number one from Carl S. Carl wants to, I'm also going to say that we're in the spoiler zone. We could talk about, it's Thursday. Nothing really has happened that we don't know about, but I'm just for, if anybody's super particular about that, we are in spoiler mode. Okay. Carl S. wants to know, if Amber is the first member of the jury, do you think Caleb will self-evict so he can spend a week alone with Amber? By the way, I heard Nicole say she would date Ian and she thinks he is cute. All right, Ian, so don't jump off Team Coconuts yet.
I was never off of Team Coconuts. I don't know when that was said, 4 weeks ago. That being said, the whole Caleb Amber thing, that's definitely something. I could see him saying, well, if I'm going to get voted out, I'd rather it be right now so that I can spend a week alone with her. I hope that if that's the case for Amber's sake, then it would be a double eviction so that she never has to spend any time alone. I think a little production pre-planning to make the second and third boots go to jury together would be a wise move.
I think that it would be very funny, though, if Amber becomes the first person out on the jury and Caleb, it's like clear that he's going to go out like eventually, and maybe like he wins the veto and he like then like gives it up so he can go to jury to be with Amber and keep her company.
I don't think that would be funny in that I would be concerned for her safety.
Really?
Sorry. Oh, no. Poor Amber.
I'm not concerned for her safety.
You think, Brian, you think she'd be okay?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
I mean,
I don't know, man. I think that kiss on the forehead thing while she was sleeping, that is like super... super creepy to me. Like, that is just like...
I thought she was awake, though. Like, they were talking, like, right before that.
Oh, I had heard that he kissed her forehead while she was asleep, is what I had heard.
I heard that, too. But the picture they took a picture from the back and showed her with her head laying down. I thought she was awake, though, so I'm not freaking out over that at all.
Okay. I don't know. If she was asleep, that is, like, crossing into a whole new realm of creepiness on Big Brother. Obviously isn't like Justin territory yet, but it's up there.
Okay. All right, let's keep going. Let's go to question number two from Adam Burt. And Adam wants to know, who do you think Team America will target to have an argument at the POV or nomination ceremony? Can they argue with each other to complete the task? No, I think they have to convince somebody.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. So let's talk about what Team America has to do. So they basically have to get two people to get into an argument. And I got to feel like that Team America is going to end up getting Zach to be one of these two people. Right?
Yeah, I don't really see how there's any anybody else, and I actually feel they actually have some shot here to do it, because they know that Zach has to make nominations, and I mean, they can just say, you got to say this, and then all he has to do is say something that's just a little bit off color, and then shit can go down. So they lucked out with Zach getting HOH for the likelihood of passing this particular task, for
so
sure.
What do you think? It's just going to be like Derek and Frankie, like in Zach's ear, like, okay, Zach, here's what you should do. When you nominate Jocasta, tell her that God really hates the way you've been playing the game. Tell her that at the nomination. You should do that. You should tell her that.
Oh yeah, no, Derek and Frankie are probably going to, what'll happen is Derek will tell Frankie and Zach to come up with nomination speeches, and then Frankie and Zach will agree to do something, crazy or off, just like kind of loose cannon type speeches. And then Frankie will say something, but Zach will also say something like that. So they'll use the fact that one of them is HOH and could kind of get Zach to do something because the HOHs tend to be working together within the confines of this twist. So that's probably what will happen, yeah.
Okay. Let's go to Amazing Race Know-It-All, who says, did you like the country songs, Ian?
They were better than the Broadway songs and the rock songs, I think.
I just feel like...
Broadway songs were awful, by the way. That was the worst they ever did. The rock songs, I don't know. I think some of them were like, you know, oh, that was kind of fun. But I think the country songs are actually somewhat... They were thought out well.
Yeah. I feel like it was a little boring, like, after somebody buzzed in, that we have to hear the whole song.
It's awkward, isn't it? Yeah. That's always how it is. That's how it always is.
Like, hey, we spent a lot of money on these songs. We're going to listen to the whole thing.
Yeah.
We have to buy 12 songs.
So, Rob, what genre of music do you think the concert will be next year when they do that challenge?
Boy, what's hot right now, Ian? You're on top of... Can we get the DJ Pow Pow to come in and have some sort of club mix?
Yeah, I was hoping for Zydeco, actually.
Okay. That'd be good. Maybe could we get Ariana Grande to come in and perform this next season?
I don't know. Who knows?
I hope
maybe
so.
Maybe they canceled her show.
No, I think she's fine. I think she's fine. This is from Matt, who says, which outfit do you think Nicole wears better, the frog outfit or the germitard? Ian, what do you prefer to see Nicole in?
I think it's pretty obvious she's infinitely cuter in the germitard.
Okay.
You know, form-fitting, you know, beautiful. Yeah, great.
Okay. All right. So... I think you're right about that one. This is from Fresh Brown Eyes, wants to say, do you think Frankie will put up strong players to win Battle of the Block so he is once again dethroned, or might he want to be the only HOH because Zach is so unpredictable? All right, how hard do you think Frankie will go after being the sole HOH?
Yeah, this is one of the more interesting ones because I think that there's a much more likely chance this week that they'll both really try to be the one that's the HOH staying at the end of the weekend. It's not going to be like some of the other ones where one person pretty much just, you know, I mean, it's like the, well, it was like there was some sort of, it was almost planned that it went the way that it did, right? So, I think they're both going to try pretty hard to be the sole HOH this week.
Do you think it will get competitive?
What do you mean by that?
Like, will they really be, like, you know, jockeying for the worst people so that they can both stay the HOH? Like, will it be a tense egg draw?
Yeah, I think it might be. I actually was about to say, I think the egg draw will likely dictate, you know, quite a bit this week. I mean, well, I say that in that it's like, who gets to put Jocasta up, right?
is she the number one pick in the draft right now?
I feel like she's going to be the number one pick in the nomination draft for quite a while.
Yeah, even over Victoria?
Yeah, I would say so.
Oh, man. Brian, now that Zach and Frankie have the HOH room all to themselves, you don't think this is going to be the week?
Oh, no.
Okay.
I mean, if they were going to have something romantic going on, they'd have already done it.
Don't you think? Do Zach, Frankie, and Cody all sleep in the HOH bed together?
Oh, yes, they sleep. Brittany has, like, slept up there, like, the other night, too, trying to get votes. So, I mean, these people sleep all up in the bed together. Okay. Even, like, Victoria, who says she won't even sleep in the same room with a guy, has slept in the same bed with a guy.
Okay. What do you...
I will say, the circle bed is... massive. It can easily hold three people.
Did you ever sleep in that bed with three people?
No, but I know that in my season, that the circle bed, that was downstairs my season, and three people would always sleep in that bed.
Okay. All right, this is from Garrett Bear, and Garrett says, Rob, if all of Frankie's HOH pictures only show Ariana Grande as a child, do you think the other house guests will get suspicious because all of his HOHs only have childhood pictures? Do you think the other house guests will say, like, hey, Frankie, how come we never get to see your sister, who you talk about constantly? How come we never see a current picture of her?
I don't think anyone's that wise to it.
What about Derek? Could Derek put it together? Could he be like looking at the figuring out that maybe there's a barbershop quartet in Skokie, Illinois?
I doubt it. Okay. I really do.
I feel like the clues are there for people to figure it out, though, because with his grandfather's passing and the reading of the letters, he's discussed him as being Frank Grande. He didn't say Grande, but he said Granda or something like that. And he has said that his sister's name is Ari. So if Zach has already called him Frank Grande, and now if people put Ari Grande together and there's anybody that knows, he's busted, really, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, that the clues are out there on that front. I don't think the pictures are going to be the, what makes it a closed and shut case.
Yeah. I've said this before. I don't think it's that big a deal. Even if he came out and told everybody today, I don't think it would affect the game very much at all. Do you disagree?
This might be the best time to tell.
Yeah. Oh, I agree with that.
Not to make a lot of the situation, but it is.
Yeah. I mean, there's no reason to tell, but, I really don't think it's going to be he's not going to be evicted if they find out.
No, I don't either.
Okay. Love Vegan Style wants to say, I can't stand when people boast on these shows. I think that's boast on these shows that they deserve to be there more than someone else, or that they sacrifice more. Completely annoying on all levels. That I do find that a little annoying when people talk about they deserve to be there.
How do you justify who's deserving and who isn't? I mean, everyone has to leave their family and probably their job and things like that. I mean, you could say, well, someone was casted because, they were found at a bar 3 days before the show started, or they were found riding their pedicab around or something like that, and they didn't go through the same trial of, like, actually applying that I did. But, yeah, I don't really like it either.
Okay. Let's go to this is from Thor. And Thor wants to say, do you think they gave Frankie a letter so the house guests knew it was real and he wasn't pulling a Johnny Fairplay? I do not think the words Johnny Fairplay were mentioned in the Big Brother production trailer. What do you think, Ian?
Yeah, I don't think that it was mentioned either. However, I didn't notice, obviously I didn't know that the letter was given to him until tonight, which I actually, that is... why I wasn't so sure about the letter. I mean, I feel like he goes in there and he comes out with the news, but confirming it to everyone else, I feel like they should tell him and him alone.
I don't think it was a coincidence that Big Brother was realizing, boy, it's a slow week in the Big Brother house. We got to sort of figure out how to make this into a moment on the TV show.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that they were trying to make a scene out of it. Yeah. I mean, that's for certain.
Because we were saying last night that we don't know what they're going to fill in on the Thursday show because, again, it was a slow week on the feeds.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, that's how you end up with Hey Cole segments.
Is that what happened? Is that it was so slow that they had to stretch and make a Hayden and Nicole romance story?
Yeah, exactly.
Would you have preferred it more or less if Big Jeff went out to Nicole's hometown?
I would say more. I think that Donnie segment, that was just that was incredible.
So you want more? You want to see more of Big Jeff with everybody's family?
I think that would be really funny.
What would be the next stop you'd like to see Big Jeff make?
I would say Big Jeff.
Send them to Caleb's town to go see what they think.
Well, I think Big Jeff has had enough of the small town scene. I say send them to Derek.
Send him to Derek's house.
Or Zach. That would actually be kind of fun.
Why don't we send him to Amber's family's house and hear what Amber's family has to think about Caleb?
That would be pretty amusing. But to be honest, I feel like production, well, they could bury him, right? So that actually might be pretty entertaining.
Bury who, Caleb?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As if they aren't already.
Yeah. It would be funny if he was out there like, yeah. All right, you guys, your daughter Amber, she's in the house. What do you guys think of this guy Caleb? You like him? You think he's a good fit? And they're like, no, he's terrible.
It's killing me how he's like carrying Spanky around with him everywhere now.
Yeah, what is with the doll, Brian?
That's Cody. It was given to Cody in his basket, and he said, I don't even know why this is here, but in my mind, I'm thinking, wow, Cody took his girl. Now he's thinking he's taking his like childhood animal or something.
Yeah, so that's Cody's stuffed animal, and he's walking around the house with it?
Yeah, and he slept with it for the past couple of nights.
Okay. All right, let's go.
Well, that's his new Amber.
Couple more questions. Wildebeest, 11630, wants to say, Rob, how well do you think Jocasta can hold her own in a physical competition? Not great, Wildebeest. Not great.
Her stomach's sour again.
Oh, no. Is Jocasta's stomach the saboteur this season?
It just might be. It just might be.
Yeah. All right. This is from Daniel Sinensky, wants to say, why did Donnie have to be the pawn? Why couldn't a minor detonator such as Christine? Wouldn't that have been a safer choice for Cody, still ensuring that Brittany goes home and not breaking his promise to Donnie? You know, I was thinking about this same thing earlier when I was watching the episode. I mean, there's nobody in the house that has, you know, at least a, you know, a... the testicular fortitude to say, hey, let me go nominate me. I know Zach was talking about it, right, Brian? But where's the Matt Hoffman? Where's the Matt Hoffman of this season to say, put me up on the block, I'll show you?
It was Zach. I don't know why he didn't nominate Zach. Zach begged him.
And why'd they say no?
Derek shut it down and Frankie shut it down because Brittany was campaigning for Zach to go up on the block, and Zach wasn't scared. Zach's not scared. He wanted them to put him up on the block so they could send her home and show it. It would be more embarrassing for her if he went. It was kind of like the Justin thing all over again.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Are Derek and Frankie the mom and dad of the house, Ian?
Well, I mean, I think Donnie has some, he certainly has some sort of fatherly presence, right?
But I feel like he's more like the crazy uncle.
That's a fair point.
Or the grandfather.
Yeah, actually, yeah, he is the grandfather, now that you would mention it. So,
is this the Goldbergs?
Father Tom.
Father Tom. Oh, Grandpa. Hey, do you kids want to see me do a cricket noise? I'll give you a nickel if you listen to it. Like, oh, Grandpa, no. Do you guys want a slice of apple pie? It's not a wooden nickel. Elizabeth Berry says, did Julie forget that Devin had a daughter? So rude that Brittany got to see her kids and not Devin. I was going to tweet about this. So, for the first time, what, Ian, since what, Big Brother 4, Big Brother 5, that we got to see a loved one at the eviction?
It's been a really long time. Someone on Twitter brought up that does the Colonel count as a loved one for Chicken George? which is great. That being said, I think that the reasoning here is that Brittany's kids are, they live very close.
Yeah, I was going to say, right? Brittany lives 10 minutes away.
Right. So it's quite easy to bring them out there in case mom's on the block. Whereas, I mean, I couldn't imagine, back in the olden days, it seemed like they were always there, if I'm remembering right. So, I mean, they must have, they voted earlier back then. They didn't vote live in those days.
Yeah.
So,
another thing I'm good with, you could skip the live vote this season, Big Brother. Ian, I crunched numbers here. I think it's, we've had, for the person The person who goes home has gotten 44 of the votes this season, and the person who stays has gotten 2 votes.
So, yeah.
So far, we've seen 44 of 46 votes all go the same exact way. Yes.
Yeah. The only ones that were misplaced were the Zach votes. So yeah, I mean, pretty much the season of foregone conclusions. It's not like, I mean, at Big Brother 14, the thing I liked about it, we didn't have a unanimous vote in there until when Joe went. Joe was the first unanimous vote of the season, and that was all the way at the end. So, I mean, that just goes to show you how people were really, really willing to stick to their guns that year.
Yeah. And so I feel like we should have, let's go to the old Big Brother rules, and we should go to commercial, and Julie should tell us, like, okay, let's hear how Zach, Derek, Frankie, and Jocasta feel about the vote tonight. And like, Brittany, you're my friend, but you know, you're a tough competitor. Donnie, I feel like we've gotten so close lately. And then just, you know, don't tell us how they vote, and then just cut to, we don't need the, you know, in and out of the house, but tonight I think they were just trying to kill time.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it was long and drawn out, wasn't it?
Yeah. All right, let's do 2 more questions. Okay, here we go. This is from Lance Davis. And Lance says, when do you guys think BB will reset and go back to the one standard HOH and 2 nominees going forward? How much longer will they stay with the Battle of the Block? Do you think we'll go all the way to jury, Ian?
I think it'll be after this week or next. It has to be. Week 6 is the longest that it could possibly go.
Brian, you concur?
I would figure that it's either next, it would have to be within the next 2 weeks if that twist would end. And then shortly thereafter, a double eviction. They may even announce it on the same night.
Okay. Yeah. All right, and let's do the last question of the night. This is from Katie Welch, and Katie says, will Christine, Frank, Derek, or Zach ever be nominated, and who will Team America puppet to make a fight? Ian, you're one of my favorite players. So let's take the first part of that. Will Christine, Frankie, Derek, or Zach ever be nominated? Ian?
By the pigeonhole principle, yes.
Yes.
They will. Some of them will eventually be nominated.
It will happen. It will happen.
It will happen. It's just how it works. Yeah, and I mean, it might not be for a while, but yeah, of course they will be. And I'm not sitting here saying, well, yeah, it'll get down to those, you know, 5 and someone has to go up. No, I mean, they'll have 5 people left, someone has to. I think someone's going to do some block time a lot earlier than that. It might not be immediate, but it's all certainly right. In between.
So give me, how does this season go? I think we're, you know, sort of just in a lull right now where it's a little slow with what's going on in the house. The status quo is too much. But how does this end up shaking out? Like, you concur, right, that the final 5 will not be the detonators, right?
Sure. Yeah, I don't think that's what's
going to
happen.
So give us the season in 60 seconds. Where do we go from here?
Hopefully a Zach win. no. What'll
take us along the steps. How does that happen?
They'll get to around the jury stage. The detonators will realize that if they would like to win the the twist will end. Right. The detonators realize that if they want to be able to win, have a much better chance at winning competitions at the end, it would be ideal to try to take a subset of the detonators and then take a crack at someone else in the detonators while also pulling in some of the weaker players. So that's how I think it'll play out. Right. So the alliance will break, or what will happen is somebody that's not a detonator, once they revert to single HOH rules, will get HOH, and then that alliance is done because they immediately start throwing each other under the bus, and that's the game is anew.
Do you think that Christine could break off with her subset of Nicole and Hayden? The problem is Christine hates Donnie. If Christine and Donnie were on good terms, I would feel like that's going to be what would happen, where Christine breaks off and goes with Donnie and then picks up one of these other floaters. And then they have the numbers over the bomb squad or the detonators. But the problem is that these two people that could both mount a counter resistance aren't on the same page, which speaks well for the detonators.
Right, which is true. But I would also say that I think Christine has the most options available to her as of right now. I feel like Christine has the most room to choose her own adventure, if you will. Whereas other people are going to have to be much more rigid in their plans moving forward.
Brian, do you think that Christine has an inside track here to be able to sort of turn the game upside down if she wanted to?
Oh, she's, I mean, without a doubt in a position to do it. I think.
Is she talking about it?
No, she's not talking about it at all. I mean, really all she has is a group of three. And if you think about that, I mean, it would be kind of awful to try to flip the house before like six, because you wouldn't have the numbers if that's all
you
had.
She's not going to get to six with that group of three.
Right. So something's going to have to give. She's going to have to do it a lot earlier.
Yeah.
If she's going to do it.
Well, she needs to recruit a few more people.
Right. She needs to have at least four.
Yeah. All right. Well, maybe, or I guess maybe the other thing that could happen is if Cody and Zach, if there's some sort of split in the detonators, where whether it's, you know, Derek and Frankie, or, you know, if they split in half and target each other, that could also happen. But I feel like, you know, Mom and Dad are very much against that happening.
I think you can get Zach to do anything, really.
Yeah.
Maybe he might be able to pull
that guy. That guy's a loose cannon. It's kind of scary in a way to play against like a Zach type, right? Because like there's this old saying, I think it was Yule from Survivor, said that he always liked keeping Jonathan Penner in the game because he knew that Penner would always act very rationally, and thus his moves were easy to predict. And you know, he knew how to work Penner, basically. And someone like Zach, who's gonna do like completely crazy things and totally, you know, might be a total loose cannon, irrational, it's difficult to predict that. So it's difficult to plan accurately moving ahead with someone like Zach in there.
Zach is nothing like me.
I hear what you're saying. Yeah, that there are a lot of people that feel that way about. They'd rather play with all smart people and not the shambos of the world or the people that are going to make the irrational game moves, because it's much harder to predict what's going to go on. But that does tend to make things a lot of fun. So, all right, we'll see where it goes from here. The nominations. Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
One other thing I wanted to bring up was, I feel like Brittany should have just not completed that goal task.
Yeah, you're 100% right. That it's just, this is what you get when you find somebody 2 weeks before the show and throw them out there. That she felt like, oh, this is my chance to prove to everybody how I am. What would have been the worst case scenario for Brittany if she didn't complete the task? She can't play in next week's veto. Guess what?
She's not playing anyway.
That's a reason to keep her.
Exactly. Exactly. This is the good analogy. In game theory class, we examined a certain game called a three-way duel.
Whoa.
Where there's like
the family podcast, Ian.
A tool, if you will. And, you know, it's like three cowboys and they each have the gun with one bullet. And the person that goes first should always just shoot out in the distance and not at either of the other ones, because they have no ammunition. So when the other two go, you know, it's very, very obvious, you know, how who's going to try to shoot who there, because, well, you're never going to go for the guy that doesn't have ammo, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's what it is.
Yeah. And so, I mean, Brittany is a nice lady, I'm sure. And I'll talk to her tomorrow morning, but not a master of the game. And I think that maybe if this season does end up not being as competitive as we hope, I think it's going to come down to the casting of the Paulas, the Britneys, the Victorias, the Jocastas, the Joeys, and we really, we've got Nicole and we've got Christine, but I think we got six other women in the game that knew nothing about how to play this game. The guys are good. The guys all at least had some idea what they were doing. You know, you have Devin and Caleb who were brought the crazy factor, which was fun. The other six guys all had an idea of what they were doing, but they gave us six women this season that were just complete jokes when it came to playing the game.
Right, pretty much.
Hard to keep it, and then it's like, oh, how come there can't be a women's alliance? Well, you know what? Get eight women next season that know how to play, and let's see if we get a women's alliance in the house. Instead, you had two women who know how to play, and six women who you found God knows where, and they don't have a clue. They are lost in this game. All right. So it's no wonder that the men have an advantage in the house. It's just that they found women who don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, but the women still have hope in Nicole and Christine, and they could really wreak havoc in this guy's alliance and blow everything up for him.
They certainly could. I don't want to make it sound like I'm talking about women are not good at Big Brother. That's definitely not what I'm saying. It's that these of the women that they picked, six of them had no idea how to play this game. And so...
So who are the two that do know how to play?
Christine and Nicole.
Nicole. Okay, good. We're on the same page then.
And the other six just are, don't even know what show they're on.
But I will say that Christine is quite good. So we're definitely not saying that the women are not, that women in general aren't good. We're definitely not saying that.
Definitely not saying that. Christine was my pick.
Christina's very good at Big Brother, I would say.
Christina was my pick to win the whole game. So yeah, it's not that I'm not. It's not that, nothing against women. It's that they picked six women who were. It would be hard to swing a cat and find six women who were worse at Big Brother than six of the women they cast to play this season.
Yeah, I think I would take my grandma in there over some of them.
No, and in fairness, we said Amber was replacement level. So even though she has no idea what she's doing.
Amber's not bad, but she doesn't really have any social currency.
Right. All right. So very fun stuff. If you want to jump in on these live feeds and watch how these nominations are going to go down tonight, this is your last chance to get in on a season pass on Big Brother live feeds. You can go to robisthewebsite.com/live feeds. If you're not up for the season pass, you can always get the monthly subscription only from here on out. Sunday night, I'll be back with Hayden Moss here live at 9:15 p.m. Eastern. I'm very much looking forward to that. Between all of the Survivor podcasts and Big Brother podcasts, Hayden Moss is the Venn diagram of RHAP personified. So I am looking forward to speaking with him on Sunday night. And then, of course, I'm going to speak with AJ Mass on Friday, and as well as my exit interview with Brittany. Make sure you don't miss any of it. Subscribe to Rob as a Podcast at robasthewebsite.com/iTunes, or for our Big Brother feed only, robasthewebsite.com/BB Podcast. And we do appreciate it when you subscribe and like our YouTube videos if you are watching the video of this show at robasthewebsite.com/YouTube. All right, Ian. Thanks again. We will see you next Thursday.
Absolutely.
Give me your quick pick. Who is the who is evicted 1 week from tonight?
Caleb.
Brian?
I have to agree with Ian. The Zach attack will take out Caleb.
Okay, well, that'll be fun. That, it could be...
Caleb doesn't go to jury, and then Amber does. So, that would be... It'd be fun.
Then he could get a Twitter and he could talk about Amber all summer long. So it's the best of both worlds.
Well, sure.
Who is Caleb up on the block against 1 week from tonight?
Jocasta, something like that.
Yeah.
Jocasta or Victoria.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so it'll be fun to see if Caleb has a meltdown or if he ends up becoming much more mellow and pulling a Devin this week. So we'll see. All right, thank you guys so much for watching us here live tonight. And also to those of you guys in the archives, let us know what you think in the comments. Have a great night and talk to you again soon. Bye.